Hello and welcome to another edition of Play Me or Fade Me. And thank you for joining us as always. And that's a winner. Yes, you can make it back to 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 back winning days in the podcast. You can count them up. That's 8 straight winning days. And that now sets my all-time overnight podcast record. My all-time record once again was set with the NBA Prop Bet Show, winning 13 consecutive episodes. But we finally hit the number 8 on the overnight podcast. You can almost call it 9 because I had a winning day on Thursday and a winning day on Friday, but it was a double card. So let's recap the winning card for Thursday and Friday. On Thursday in college basketball, I went 9-7, a 5-1 start. Then I lost 6 consecutive games, then won my final 4. Needless to say, the people around me that tailed my middle 6 plays at the sports book, well, they stopped offering to buy me drinks. And that Nevada collapse started my downfall, but rallied late on Thursday, salvaged a winning day at 9-7. Major League Baseball on Thursday, I went 2-0. So my Major League Baseball plays so far this year are now 5-0 on the season. And of course, coming up this week, it'll be opening day for the rest of Major League Baseball. Then on Friday in college basketball, I go 11-5, fading UConn and Houston. That was a bad, bad, bad idea. Backing Nebraska away from home, that was a bad idea, but still overall, it was a good day for me. Once again, going 11-5 on the card. So we're 36 games into the madness. I am 23-13 against the spread with 31 games to go. So I picked up over 8 units of profit on Thursday and Friday. No complaints there. Before we get to the card here for Saturday, please remember to follow my blog. I'm putting every first half wager out there. I'm putting every against the side wager out there. Also, follow me on Twitter and please subscribe to the newsletter so I can take my wife out to eat after March Madness. Feel like I haven't seen her in a long, long time. First half totals on the blog, tough run here. They're 15, 19, and 2. I wish I had waited on the numbers. Looking at the closing numbers, looks like I could have been 20 and 16, but unlike the conference basketball tournaments, here at March Madness, the numbers have only been going up after getting posted because they really posted them lower than they should have. It came back to bite me once again. 2 pushes on Friday and 2 other games decided by a half a point where if I had waited, I would have won them. But that's how it goes. You can't get too high, you can't get too low. And now let's get to the card for Saturday. And we start with game one. It's Dayton plus the 9.5 against Arizona. So Dayton might be the end of me. I had Nevada on Thursday, and the Flyers broke my heart. I backed Dayton several times this year on the road. It never seemed to work out for me. The loss at Loyola was the most painful of the bunch. They played within 14 on a neutral site against Houston. They lost at Northwestern by 5. The KenPom numbers have this number at 6, so I'm getting some value at 9.5. The Flyers ranked 21st in offensive efficiency, 69th in defensive efficiency. I do have Arizona in my Final Four. I really like the Wildcat team. They're top 10 on both ends of the floor. I hate to bet against them, but the numbers say that I should, and the early tip time also tells me that I should. And maybe by backing Dayton, that'll allow me to keep my Final Four team in it, since Dayton always seems to do what I don't want to see happen. So I'm going to grab the 9.5 here. Let's take Dayton plus the 9.5 against Arizona. Game number two on my card, it's Kansas plus the 4.5 against Gonzaga. It's almost embarrassed to back Kansas here. They dropped 4 of 5 down the stretch, losing by 8 at home to BYU. They lost by 8 at Baylor. They lost at Houston by 30, then lost on a neutral floor by 20 to Cincinnati before surviving and advancing with a 4-point win over Samford when they actually shot 60% from the floor, but unfortunately, they turned it over 18 times. No, they don't have McCullough, and that's a bad thing. They did lose 10 games this season, and they actually finished 5th place in the Big 12, something that never happens under Bill Self. But let's focus on what they do have. Hunter Dickinson was first team all-conference. He put up 19 points and 20 rebounds on Thursday. Dewan Harris was first team all-defense in the Big 12, and Johnny Furphy was first team all-freshman in a very loaded Big 12. The Jayhawks did beat both Tennessee and Kentucky on a neutral floor. They beat a pair of number one seeds at home by beating both UConn and Houston. Not an easy feat to do. Beating a three seed in Baylor at home is actually the fifth best win this season for the Jayhawks. The Zags kicked my butt on Thursday with a pounding of McNeese. They won at Kentucky. They won at St. Mary's. And they have a top-level offense ranking eighth in the country. The Zags are very good, but something is telling me not to count out Kansas, so let's do it. Rock Chalk Jayhawk, give me the points. I'm on Kansas, plus the 4.5 over Gonzaga. Next up on the card, a marquee matchup. It's North Carolina, minus the 3.5 over Michigan State. So I cashed in on Michigan State to open the dance on Thursday. Getting that first win of the tournament is always the toughest for me, so I'll thank this team for that. KenPom has the Tar Heels by only 3. The computer numbers have loved Michigan State all season, and it's had me scratching my head. Fun fact here for you, number one seeds reach the Sweet 16 84.2% of the time. So that doesn't mean that a one gets beat every single year in this round. The Spartans have Izzo, we know that. They've played the seventh best schedule in the non-conference. They beat Baylor and Illinois. They lost 5 games this year by 3 or less, including at Illinois, my national champion once again. The key for me, though, they lost 14 games, and they were inconsistent most of the season. Prior to the win over Mississippi State, they had actually lost 5 of 7 games down the stretch. North Carolina ranks number 18 in offensive efficiency. They rank number 7 in defensive efficiency. They beat Tennessee. They swept Duke. They beat North Carolina State twice. And they won at Clemson. They're 28-7 on the season. On-court performance has earned my respect. So I'm going to lay the points here. Give me the Tar Heels of North Carolina, minus the 3.5 over Michigan State.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Next up on the card, it's Iowa State, minus the 6.5 over Washington State. So the Pac-12 is 5-0 in the tournament so far. Washington State was good enough to beat Arizona twice during the season. They won at Oregon, and they beat Colorado. All teams still playing in the big dance. The Cougars are ranked 22nd on defense. They're ranked 68th on offense. Iowa State ranks just in front of them at 52 on offense. But the Cyclones are number 2 on defense. I have so much respect for Houston, and the Cyclones beat them twice during the season, including a 28 pounding in the Big 12 championship. So that speaks volumes for me. Baylor looked unstoppable yesterday. Iowa State beat them by 14 in the Big 12 semifinal. Then they lost by 2 at Baylor during the season. They won at tournament teams TCU and Texas. The crowd edge also belonged to Iowa State and Omaha here. So I'm going to lay the points with the Cyclones of Iowa State, minus the 6.5 over Washington State. Next up on the card, it's Oakland, plus the 6.5 against North Carolina State. So these are all tough games to handicap. KenPom has North Carolina State by 7. One of my favorite handicapping angles is to talk about regression stats. On the season, both of these teams shoot 45% from the floor. North Carolina shot 50.9% against Texas Tech on Thursday. They shot 54.9% against North Carolina in the ACC title game. They shot 48.3% against Virginia in the ACC semifinals. They shot 45.9% against Duke in the ACC quarterfinals. So all 4 games were above average shooting for the Wolfpack. Oakland, on the other hand, they hit a ton of threes on Thursday, but they only shot 41.3% from the floor against Kentucky. They shot 43.5% in the Horizon Championship game against Milwaukee, and they shot only 38.7% in the Horizon League semifinal against Cleveland State. So the Golden Grizzlies have won 3 straight elimination games with subpar shooting efforts. Flip the script game for me. I'm going to grab the points here. Give me the Golden Grizzlies of Oakland plus the 6.5 over North Carolina State. Next up on the card, it's Tennessee minus the 6.5 against Texas. So Rick Barnes gets to face his old assistant coach and the program that fired him with a trip to the Sweet 16 on the line. My level of concern with this wager has actually increased since watching most of the SEC struggle so far in the tournament. The Volunteers ranked third on defense. They ranked 28th in offensive efficiency. They beat Illinois, Wisconsin, and North Carolina State of the non-conference. Their losses were to Purdue, Kansas, and North Carolina, all seeded highly in this tournament. Tennessee won at Kentucky. They beat Alabama. They beat South Carolina in the conference. The Volunteers are more than capable of winning another five games and cutting down the nets at the Final Four. On the other side, I tip my cap to Texas. It was a nice win over Colorado State. They're actually a top 40 team on both ends of the floor. They were up and down, 9-9 of the Big 12. I'm not a believer in the Longhorns, so I'm going to lay the points here. Give me the Volunteers of Tennessee minus the 6.5 over Texas. Next up on the card, it's Illinois minus the 9.5 over Duquesne. So once again, I'm on the record saying Illinois is my national champion. I'm going to back them until the end. Yes, they started slow against Morehead State, but that offense is so beautiful to watch for the Fighting Illini. They have multiple options, multiple outs. No handicap required for me. The magical ride ends tonight for the Dukes of Duquesne. Give me the Fighting Illini of Illinois minus the 9.5 over Duquesne. Then the final game of the card for me is an intriguing one. You got to love the storylines in the NCAA tournament. It's Creighton minus the 4.5 against Oregon. So the number keeps dropping. 4.5 to me is a really good number, in my opinion, on the Blue Jays of Creighton. The two winningest coaches in Creighton history get to face each other in this one. As Coach Greg McDermott said earlier this week, Dana Altman is still beloved in Omaha from taking a program that barely had 1,500 fans per game into a 17,000-seat sold-out arena on a nightly basis. They're averaging 45.7% from the floor during the season, but the Ducks actually shot 59.6% against South Carolina on Thursday. The metrics on both ends of the floor strongly favor Creighton. Scoring options favor Creighton with three veterans averaging over 17 points per game. But the Ducks do have a 1-2 punch that combined for 63 points on Thursday. I do see regression in their future off of that performance, though. The Blue Jays have wins over UConn, Marquette, and Alabama. Powerhouse programs this season. So I'm going to lay the 4.5 here as Coach Mack beats the legend that he replaced in Omaha. Give me the Blue Jays of Creighton minus the 4.5 over Oregon. So, yes, it's late at night. I probably got tongue-tied in a few things there, but it's been a fun 48 hours of basketball for me. And hopefully we can keep the winning streak going here on Saturday. So let's recap the card for you. It is the round of 32. I'm going to lead it off with Dayton plus the 9.5 against Arizona. I'm on Kansas plus the 4.5 over Gonzaga. I'm on North Carolina minus the 3.5 against Michigan State. I'm on Iowa State minus the 6.5 against Washington State. I'm on Oakland plus the 6.5 against North Carolina State. I'm on Tennessee minus the 6.5 against Texas. I'm on Illinois minus the 9.5 against Duquesne. And I'm on Creighton minus the 4.5 against Oregon. So that's my card for a Saturday. As always, enjoy the games. Manage that bankroll. Don't chase money. Have fun, and let's cash some tickets together. Good luck, everyone.